You're listening to Fire Engineering Radio, the Future Firefighter Podcast with host Chris Baker.
Attention, Company 3, Company 2, Engine 9, Engine 12, Operator 1, Battalion 1, Battalion 2, District 604, C. Charles. Structure fire, Washington and Union.
Join him and his guests as they discuss how to engage with future members of the fire service through mentorship as they seek a career in the fire service.
You can show the fire under control.
Good evening and welcome to this episode of Fire Engineering Radio, the Future Firefighter Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Baker, and tonight we have an excellent guest scheduled for this episode. Joining me is Deputy U.S. Fire Administrator Tanya Hoover. Chief Hoover is the Deputy U.S. Fire Administrator at the U.S. Fire Administration, USFA. She was named to this position in January 2020. As the senior career federal fire official, she is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the USFA. This includes the annual training of over 100,000 first responders at and through the National Fire Academy, the NFA. The National Fire Incident Reporting System, which documents and analyzes 27 million fire department emergency responses a year, the USFA's fire prevention, public information, and public education program, and the 26 campus buildings and the grounds of the historic National Emergency Training Center in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Chief Hoover is an accomplished executive with more than 20 years of management experience in both local and state government. She has successfully worked at high levels of government in developing and implementing fire protection, fire prevention, fire training, and community risk reduction programs. From May 2017 to January 2020, Chief Hoover served as a superintendent of the USFA's NFA, which focuses on enhancing the ability of fire and emergency services and allied professionals to deal more effectively with fire and related emergencies. From July of 2009 to July of 2016, Chief Hoover served as a California State Fire Marshal, where she was responsible for statewide fire prevention, fire service training, pipeline safety code, and regulation development and analysis and implementation. She was the California Assistant State Fire Marshal from September 2007 to June 2009. Previously, Chief Hoover served as a fire marshal, battalion chief for a local fire department, and was a deputy campus fire marshal for the University of California at Berkeley. Chief Hoover served on the board of directors for the National Fire Protection Association and the International Fire Service Training Association, and continues to engage with the International Code Council. Chief Hoover received her MBA in Business and Human Resources from the University of Phoenix in 2006, and a Bachelor of Science in Technical Education, specializing in fire protection and safety from Oklahoma State University in 1985. She holds an Associate's Degree in Fire Protection Engineering Technology, also from Oklahoma State University, and possesses a California lifetime teaching credential for fire science. Chief Hoover, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be joining you.
Well, Chief Hoover, thank you for the gift of your time and for joining me on this episode. I know you have a very busy schedule, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share your important message with the future generations of the fire service.
Well, I have to say it is an honor for me to be with you, because anytime I have the opportunity to talk about the USFA, about this incredible profession that we're all a part of, and hopefully share a few nuggets for those folks just starting out in this career adventure, it's a good day for me.
Well, thank you, Chief. So you're definitely one of my mentors and heroes. And so to share your message with my audience is definitely an honor. So Chief, usually when I have these episodes, I try to share for the listeners how you got your start in the fire service and kind of a little bit about your background. If you could just share with the listeners why you got into the fire service, and then just maybe a little bit about the specific agencies that you've worked for.
Okay. Well, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I actually started my fire service journey back when I was 14 years old. And even before that, my family was involved in the fire service from a volunteer standpoint. My father was a volunteer fire chief. He served as the civil defense director. Now they call them emergency managers for the county that we lived in. So my whole life really was about fire service, was about community service. When I had the opportunity at the age of 14, I joined the local fire department, one of the departments in the community I lived in, Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. So I'm actually a mid-Atlantic girl, born and raised in Pennsylvania. I joined the fire service, the volunteer fire service at 14 as a junior member, which then started this, I call it a hobby that becomes a passion, that becomes a career. And in my mind, doesn't get any better than that. So I did have the opportunity then to go off to college after high school. While I was in high school, though, I did get my EMT. I was able to obtain that Pennsylvania EMT certification at the age of 16. I actually had to wait until I turned 16 before I could enroll in the class, because you weren't allowed to until you were 16. And then at the graduation of high school, I had the opportunity to go off to college, went to Oklahoma State University, where I started my academic career, studying fire protection, engineering, technology, and safety. Through that whole entire time, though, I constantly stayed in contact with the fire service. My goal after college was to reconnect again with the fire service. I love what it's about. And I would be lying if I didn't say, of course, you know, there was the excitement, there was the community engagement, there were the activities. Yes, everybody likes riding on an engine with flashing red lights. But I think over the time, as I developed other interests, for me, it became about the community connection, community service. So, and through my career, you know, I graduate from college. I have an opportunity to move to California and spent almost 30 years in California. And during the 30 years, California was very good to me. I built some great friendships, some great mentors, some folks that were very patient with me. I'm really helping guide my career. And working with the California Fire Service, I learned so much. It was a great opportunity, a great time in history for me to engage with the California Fire Service, where, you know, I worked with local fire departments. I had a chance to work with a research university, and then the opportunity to transition from local government or county government into state government, where I had a chance to serve two administrations and learned so much when I transitioned into that state government job, serving as the assistant state fire marshal and the state fire marshal. And folks have always asked me, you know, what's your dream job? And I tell folks, I've had so many. I've been blessed. I always thought being a fire marshal was my dream job. And then I had a chance to, you know, be the assistant state fire marshal. I thought that was my dream job. And then I got a chance to be the state fire marshal and thought that was my dream job. And being able then to be the superintendent of the National Fire Academy and transition into the deputy fire administrator. And then even as the acting U.S. fire administrator during the transitional period was quite an honor. So I've been very fortunate in my career, and it all started way back when I was a junior member firefighter.
Well, that's amazing. And, you know, as I look at your bio and the USFA website, and I obviously have followed your career over the past 15 years here in California, I think I have a lot of certificates that you signed when you were the California State Fire Marshal. And, you know, looking back, when you were 14 years old, did you ever envision that you would be the California State Fire Marshal or one day the acting U.S. Fire Administrator? I mean, as a 14-year-old.
That's a great question. I never, ever imagined that I would have the opportunities that I have had throughout my lifetime. When I was 14 years old, I'll be honest, when I was 16 and got my EMT, You know, there was a time period there in the 70s, 80s where there was a very popular TV show. And, you know, most people know what it is, at least from my generation. And it was Emergency. And I watched it religiously. That was a thing at home. And so I figured I was going to, you know, have the opportunity to take this EMT, become a paramedic. And someday I hope that I would have a chance to be a paramedic in a department like, you know, LA County. And that maybe I would go off to California and be a California paramedic firefighter, you know, when you're 16 years old and there's this great television show and that's exciting. But I never thought I would have the opportunity to go off to California and actually meet those folks that are the medics and the firefighters working in the California Fire Service. So, at 14, it was 14, 16 years old. It was like, wow, that would be pretty cool. So no, I never thought. And I think for many folks, time flies so quickly. And I think for me, you know, the opportunities to meet folks and connect with folks and continue to learn and ask questions was always important, which helped, from my standpoint, helped me progress in my career.
So a dream to come to California and a dream that came true. And I know there's a lot of listeners that are out in the audience that have the same dream. I have a lot of candidates that contact me from out of state. Chief, what led you to your decision to pursue a career in fire prevention?
Well, I would say that it happened about the time I was a senior in high school. And as I was looking at going off to college, there were a few schools that had programs in fire protection. I'll be honest with everybody out there. I applied to the University of Maryland. My ACTs and, you know, all those entrance test scores were not as high as what they should have been to enter an engineering program. I didn't want to wait around for the second band of tests to come out because I wanted to go off to college. I wanted to pursue something beyond just the firefighting standpoint of what we do. You know, after having talked to folks that went to different colleges and studied fire protection technology or fire science, I applied to Oklahoma State. Someone that I knew from Shippensburg had gone to Oklahoma State and actually took the two-year program when you used to be able to do that. You can't do that any longer. And speaking with him, I thought I'd give Oklahoma State a try. I applied. I was successful at getting into Oklahoma State, which was the perfect location. When you're in college and you're trying your best to get through classes and you're trying to pass all those tests and learning about yourself, you never really say this, but it was the perfect opportunity, the perfect place for everything that I ended up doing in my career. And that goes back to what that program was about. The program was this mix of science and technology. And I always equate that to, you know, you'll learn about it. And this is how education works. I mean, you'll learn about the whys, and then you actually get to use the whys. So the program not only had the fire protection, but it also had the safety, industrial hygiene, radiation safety. It had management, instrumentation, so many different things just beyond the fire piece of it, which actually in my career was perfect.
Going to Oklahoma State University for you was the building blocks that enabled you to pursue other positions and as a deputy state fire marshal, as a campus fire marshal, as a state fire marshal. So thank you for sharing that for my listeners, because as you know, here in California, sometimes it takes 4 to 5 years pursuing a full-time career position. So there's several listeners that are out in the audience. They're thinking, hey, what do I do between, like, you know, year two, year three, year four, year five? So having you share your story of EMT and then Emergency and watching the paramedics down in Southern California with LA County, it's a progression. So for the listeners, your EMT is a starting point, paramedic school, and then furthering your education through your AS degree and bachelor's degree. Chief, if you could just talk a little bit about why it's important to pursue higher education in the fire service.
Chris, I love that question. So in order to answer it, I'm going to step back a little bit and talk about training, education, and professional development. So we in the fire service do a lot of training. We have to keep our skills sharp. And so training shows us how to do things, whether it's how we pull hose, how we connect to hydrants, how we raise ladders, how we make an interior attack, how we scratch a line, you know, whatever the case may be, training provides us the how we do it. The education piece is why do we do it? Why do we do it that way? And I bring that up because I think it's important for us to always consider the why do we do it that way? Because times change. And, you know, the old expression, the more things change, the more they remain the same. That is true in many cases. But for us within this profession of the fire service, this job we do, our environment changes. And that change in the environment changes the way we do things. And in order to change the way we do things, we need to understand why we do it that way so that we can make the appropriate changes, not just for the sake of making a change. The opportunity in higher education is the why. It's the science behind what we do. Also, as we progress in our careers, we find that we have developed other skills and abilities that translate beyond just our hands-on responsibilities, but into some of the other areas that we become involved with, you know, our leadership and management, opportunities to promote, understanding budgets, understanding strategic planning and why that is important. Those things tie into the why do we do certain things? So that higher education helps prepare someone for that, including things like writing good reports. It helps us understand why do we need to be writers? Why can't we just assume that spell check will catch everything on our computers? You know, how do we communicate with people? How do we become better at communicating with people so that we can share our stories? So the higher education piece helps us transition into a much bigger world. And so I'm a big supporter of that higher education. Now, that's not for everybody. And that's okay too. But I think folks should, you know, when you step back and you look at your career and you think about, all right, what do I want? Where do I want to be in 10? Where do I want to be in 5-10 years from now? I guarantee when you say 5 years is so long away, it is just around the corner. So that opportunity to think about where do I want to be in my career comes pretty quick. And I believe that the higher education piece helps folks transition and get there. Now for the professional development piece. Professional development keeps us sharp in our training and our education because, again, the world evolves, our environment changes. There are new technologies, there's new thought processes, there's new research, and that professional development keeps us engaged in that. And so when we talk about training, we want to keep the training so we keep our skills sharp, the how do we do things. Our education is about why do we do it so that if we can make those adjustments, why do we make the adjustments? How do we do it better? The professional development brings that all together. So as our environment changes, we're getting the latest and greatest of things.
So eloquent. And thank you for sharing that. When we think of our profession and we think of being a well-rounded firefighter and we think of career development, professional development, having a career action plan, we think of certification, education, time and grade. It's a blend that makes a well-rounded firefighter. So as the listeners that are listening, it's important to be a lifelong learner because just as Chief Hoover mentioned, things constantly change. And Mrs. Smith counts on us to stay ahead of that that power curve and stay ahead of change, which is which sometimes could be daunting. So, Chief, in your opinion, how would you describe a well-rounded firefighter? And if you could just tie in career development to becoming a well-rounded firefighter.
I think you put it very well just a few moments ago, Chris. A well-rounded firefighter, a well-rounded medic. And let me back up a second. When I talk about firefighters, the idea is what we do in the fire service is so broad. There's so many aspects. So whether you're a firefighter, you're a medic, you're a fire inspector, you're a fire marshal, you're a fire warden, a plans reviewer, whatever the case is, you're an integral part of what we do in the fire service. And we all in our own dynamic fight fire, all risk, all hazard. So we're so much more than just a fire department. You know, to be well-rounded means to continue that learning opportunity. So you take the training opportunities that are presented to you, or you even volunteer for training opportunities that are presented to you. You know, I've told folks that I've mentored or I've had conversations with, don't wait for somebody else to ask you. You know, you have an opportunity to take control of your development in your career. So stepping in, stepping up for those training opportunities. Take the education classes. You know, take the classes. You see something, see if you can get into a class. You know, I talk about the National Fire Academy. They're free, granted. You got to get yourself here, but I pay for you to come. So there's opportunities. That well-roundedness is engaging in the training, the education, and the continuous professional development.
Yeah, I love that. I share that with my listeners too, that you're in charge of your own learning. And so it's important to have a mentor like Chief Hoover. She's mentored me over the years, and to develop a career action plan and to think about the opportunities. The opportunities are endless, and there's so many professions within the fire service. There's so many different fields. And I'm just honored to have Chief Hoover as a guest on this episode to share more about being a fire marshal or plans review or fire prevention, public education, community risk reduction officer. There's so many different fields within the fire service that you can pursue if you're interested in pursuing a career in the fire service. So Chief, if you can kind of share your current roles and responsibilities within the U.S. Fire Administration. I know you've been acting. I know you've been the superintendent. I know you've had to wear a lot of hats since 2020. So if you could just kind of share with the listeners what your current role is and your current responsibilities.
Sure. So I mentioned earlier about my career and my training and how it all came together and how important that was. Why that's important to my current job is, and has been throughout my career, is every aspect of my education and training I have used in whatever job I was sitting in. So when I pursued my associate's degree in fire protection engineering technology, because I'll be honest with your listeners, I am not a heavy math astute person. So my opportunity to be an engineer was somewhat limited. I'd be there right now taking statics and strengths and thermal dynamics for about the 10th time. I'm trying to get through it. So I thought it was important to know my limitations, which in turn, though, so that I could keep my fire protection love and interest, my fire protection safety, brought me to the technical education piece, which was the understanding adult learning, how to deliver courses, how to deliver classes, how to set things up, how to develop those courses, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. I went off to be the superintendent. So every aspect of what I did in college moved with me in my careers. You know, who would have thought that as a fire protection and safety student that you would be interested in industrial hygiene? Well, if we think about it for a moment, what do we care about in the fire service? We care about cancer and exposure. What is industrial hygiene? Industrial hygiene is about exposure. So having that piece of the learning environment added to my career. So all of this gets us to where I am today. And as the deputy fire administrator, you know, I have oversight. And when I say oversight, I lead a group of highly skilled group of managers and other leaders within the USFA that have responsibility for the National Fire Programs, which is all of our education, outreach, the data center, NFERS, the WUI outreach. I also have that oversight into the National Fire Academy, which has our superintendent over there, Eric Skablix, runs our education piece and our course developments. But also I oversee a campus, 107 acres of like 23 buildings on campus, which is known as the National Emergency Training Center, which the United States Fire Administration is responsible for. So that's that management piece. And collectively, we're all part of FEMA, which then puts us into the strategic mode of FEMA and their work that they do. So my current job as the deputy fire administrator is really those operational items within the USFA and making sure that our programs and what we deliver to the fire service is constant being rolled out, that those programs are getting what they need to be successful. And that I'm helping connect other aspects of FEMA or other aspects of the fire service with our programs. And then, of course, I have a boss, and my boss is the fire administrator, Dr. Lori Moore Merrill, who has now been in the seat, I think, for 3 weeks. 3 weeks tomorrow, 3 weeks on Friday, I believe.
Well, thank you for sharing your current roles and responsibilities. And for the listeners out in the audience, if you could just kind of share what opportunities are available for entry-level firefighters at the National Fire Academy.
So a little bit about the National Fire Academy. What's interesting about the National Fire Academy is the National Fire Academy will not make you a firefighter. In other words, you won't find a fire engine or a truck or a helicopter or a bulldozer on the site of the NFA. We focus on that space to help enhance our state partners. So when you apply to a course at the NFA, the idea is that we're going to help build your education base, and you're going to come to the NFA with a already set skill set. So when you fill out an application for the NFA, you're going to actually be doing it, not wanting to be doing it. I'll use fire investigation as an example. You don't come to the NFA because you want to be a fire investigator. You come to the NFA because you are a fire investigator and you want to be the best of the best. So for your listeners, for those people thinking, well, I want to come to the NFA, we want you to come to the NFA. So I want you to go on the website and look for those classes and training opportunities that make you better at what you're doing. So if you are currently engaged in plan review or you're currently engaged in command and coordination, your duties involve overseeing of incidents, you are assigned to or working with a fire investigation team, you know, the NFA has courses. If you're managing an EMS program or you're involved in EMS, we want you to come and take our classes at the NFA. So there are 12 different curriculum areas spanning from management supervision and training programs to GIS, leadership, prevention, technical, and then management, command and coordination. I mentioned fire investigation, which is one of our stellar programs. I mentioned EMS. So there's a wide variety of interesting topics. And when you come to the NFA, because the NFA courses have college credit recommendations attached to them, if you're pursuing a degree, you can go back to your college, university, community college with a transcript and see how that community college would apply, transfer the credits, some of those credits, if not all of those credits, towards your degree. And I've told people in our classes, you know, you take your transcript back to your higher ed, and what's the worst thing that could happen? And some people tell me, well, they'll tell me no, they won't apply the credits. And I always follow up with no, the worst thing that could happen would be you didn't ask the question and they would have told you yes. And the cost of higher ed right now, isn't it kind of cool to be given, or not given because you work for it, to walk away from a course with three college credit recommendations that you did not have to pay for and apply that to your higher ed? So there are opportunities at the NFA. A lot of people are not aware of the NFA or taking advantage of the NFA, not just in Emmitsburg, but what we do with our state partners, with state training directors. We offer classes within states that are just like taking a class on campus, instructors, curriculum, the whole nine yards, but they're offered through the state training director, through, in the case of California, the Office of the State Fire Marshal, through state fire training. State fire training directors are like the right arm of the superintendent. It is a force multiplier, and they're a very integral partner within our delivery system.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I know for myself, when I had the opportunity to go to Emmitsburg and visit the campus, and don't wait. For the listeners that are out there listening, there's opportunities for you to be able to go to Emmitsburg. And if you have more questions, I'll include it in the show notes on where you go to apply. So, Chief, as we wrap up this episode, thank you again for the gift of your time. And usually during the end of the episode, I usually ask my guests if you can share who your mentors are, and if you could share who has made the most impact on your fire service career.
Oh wow, that's a tough one because I've had so many. You know, if I start with just my own father, watching him being part of spending my youth at a fire station and just watching his passion and love for the profession. My godfather, you know, that was active in the fire service and then transitioned to another state. I mean, if I think about California, there were so many when I first got there as a brand new fire inspector that really mentored me, the Daryl Hargiths, the Bob Kennys. I mean, I don't know if your listeners know any of these names, the Ronnie J. Coleman. Ronnie J. is one that comes to mind. There's just so many that I've had an opportunity to work with and work for that really helped me hone some skills. I mean, I think about my boss at UC Berkeley, Eddie DeAndre, who could navigate a research environment and get people to do what he needed them to do without really having solid authority. Those communication and people skills are so important. And to where I am today, you know, the folks that I have worked for, the Chief Keith Bryant, Dr. Dennis O'Neill, I mean, Kirby Kiefer, who was my deputy superintendent, learned a tremendous from him. And now to have, and she might not know this, but to have the opportunity to work with Dr. Lori and actually watch and listen and, you know, an informal mentorship. I mean, any opportunity I have to learn from someone, from watching someone, from interacting with someone, I mean, that would be the advice I'd give folks. Don't be afraid to ask questions and don't be afraid to ask somebody for their help and assistance. You can control your destiny. Engage in it. Ask to go places. Ask to talk to people. Don't be afraid to step out and ask someone a question. You know, we all started someplace. And, you know, I used to laugh at we all put our pants on one leg at a time, which is so true. So don't be afraid to ask those people questions. Don't be afraid to take control of your learning. You know, sometimes you're going to be put in an uncomfortable position. Somebody's going to ask you to do something that is illegal, immoral, or unethical, but they're going to ask you to cover a meeting or go to something, and you're going to think, it's not my skill set. That's not really me. Go anyway, because you never know who you will meet and what you will learn that will come back later to benefit you in the profession.
Well, thank you. Several of those people you mentioned are my mentors as well, and my heroes. Working through the National Fire Heritage Center, I've been given access to a lot of those individuals, and it's amazing for the listeners when you look at the people that built the American Fire Service. Several of those people that you mentioned, Chief Hoover, have built our profession and are woven into the fabric of the American Fire Service. So, thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
It's definitely important to have a mentor, and it's definitely important as you look at your career development plan, your career action plan, when you're looking at higher education and certifications and training, having that subject matter expert that you can go to that can help guide your career could be the difference from, you know, being a 14-year-old to a 16-year-old to, you know, now that you're the U.S. Deputy Fire Administrator, having a group of mentors to help you in that process. So, Chief, as we wrap up here, what advice do you have for the next generation of the fire service?
Advice for the next generation of the fire service? It is not the same fire service it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or 5 years ago. And we need to come to terms with that. We are doing things that we didn't think that we would be doing 20 years ago. We are doing things that we didn't think we'd be doing 10 years ago. We're having conversations that are important to the fire service that we did not envision having, you know, whether it's diversity, equality, inclusion, or equity. Those are conversations that have to go on in the fire service. Those are important for our transition. So I say to folks, take the time to learn. Take the time to engage, get outside of your comfort zone, be open to new ideas. And, you know, look, when I say get outside your comfort zone, outside of the norm, you know, if you're sitting in a place, and I'll pick on California for a moment, if you're sitting in a place in the Central Valley and you maybe don't come out of the Central Valley very often, you know, there's this thing that we have called technology. And now that we all know how to Zoom and Microsoft Teams, it even puts us closer connected, call it two-dimensional connection. Don't be afraid to reach out to those folks in other locations and ask for a conversation. You know, and somebody I didn't mention is Denny Compton. And Denny Compton has been a longtime mentor and a person that has really helped shape not just the past of the fire service, but the future of the fire service. And Denny's located in Arizona, so he's not that far from a lot of your listeners in California. It's worth reaching out to people like Chief Compton, reaching out to people on the East Coast at the USFA to have conversations. The fire service is evolving, and we have to evolve with it.
Well, Chief, thank you again for the gift of your time and for sharing all this wisdom with my listeners. You've always made time for me, and I really appreciate it. So for the listeners, don't wait. Emmitsburg is a beautiful place. Take classes at the NFA. They're free. And if you need help, find a mentor in your state fire training. They'll be able to assist you with either classes that are locally or with how to apply. And you can also attend classes at the National Fire Academy. And the important thing is to share. So as you take those classes in Emmitsburg, take that information back to your home agency, your home department, your home state, and share that wealth of knowledge with the fire service, because that's how we make it better, is by sharing and taking that information and giving it to others. So Chief, thank you again for being one of my mentors, and you are one of my heroes as I look at your career and your progression in the fire service and everything that you've done for our profession. I'm gratefully thankful for that.
Thank you so much, Chris. I hope that I have the opportunity to hear from and meet many of your listeners. And it's always good to see you, and I hope I get to see you again real soon.